Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of the Bahamas, a journey through time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1: The Indigenous Bahamas, the Lucayan People. Long before the turquoise waters of the Bahamas became a playground for explorers, pirates, and tourists, they were home to the Lucayan people. Descendants of the Taino culture, the Lucayans were part of a larger Arawak-speaking population that had migrated from South America to the Caribbean islands over centuries. By the time of their settlement in the Bahamas, they had adapted their way of life to the unique environment of the archipelago. Their name, Lucayan, derived from the Taino word Lukakari, meaning island people, was a reflection of their deep connection to the sea. They inhabited approximately 40 of the Bahamian islands, including San Salvador, Eleuthera, and Andres. With an estimated population of 30,000 to 40,000 at their peak, they developed a peaceful society built on communal living, trade, and a profound respect for nature. Life and society. The Lucayans lived in bohayos, circular huts made of palm leaves and thatch, which provided shelter from the tropical sun and storms. Villages were often strategically located near freshwater sources and on high ground to avoid flooding. Each village was a small but tightly knit community governed by a cacique, a leader chosen for their wisdom and ability to mediate disputes. Agriculture, fishing, and hunting formed the backbone of their economy. The Lucayans cultivated cassava, sweet potatoes, and maize in canucos, mounds of soil designed for efficient irrigation. The surrounding waters teemed with marine life, making fishing a central part of their sustenance. Using dugout canoes, they expertly navigated the shallow waters, casting nets woven from natural fibers to catch snapper, grouper, and lobster. They adorned themselves with simple jewelry crafted from shells, bones, and polished stones. Their art and craft celebrated their environment, with intricate designs reflecting their connection to the sea, the stars, and the earth. Spiritual beliefs. At the heart of Lucayan culture was a rich spiritual tradition. They worshipped a pantheon of gods and spirits tied to the natural world. Zimis, sacred objects representing spirits, were central to their religious practices. These small carvings, often made from wood or stone, were believed to house the essence of the gods and were used in rituals seeking blessings for health, fertility, or favorable weather. The Lucayans believed in an afterlife, with their version of paradise known as Kobe, a serene underworld where souls rested peacefully. To ensure a safe passage to the afterlife, they buried their dead with offerings such as food, tools, and jewelry. The oral tradition. Without a written language, the Lucayans preserved their history and knowledge through oral tradition. Elders told stories of their ancestors, the creation of the world, and lessons of morality and wisdom. Songs and dances accompanied these narratives, creating a rich cultural tapestry that bonded the community. One such story was the legend of Bimini, a mythical island of eternal youth, rumored to exist somewhere in the Bahamian waters. This tale would later fuel the imaginations of explorers like Ponce de Leon, who searched in vain for the fabled fountain of youth. Trade and connectivity. The Lucayans were not isolated. They maintained robust trade networks with neighboring islands in the Greater Antilles and beyond. Using their canoes, they exchanged goods such as pottery, stone tools, and exotic shells. These connections enriched their culture and economy, ensuring the flow of new ideas and resources. Challenges and triumphs. Despite their peaceful disposition, the Lucayans faced natural challenges. Hurricanes could devastate their villages, destroying crops and fishing grounds. Yet their resilience allowed them to rebuild and adapt, using knowledge passed down through generations. Their society thrived in harmony with the environment, a balance that would tragically be disrupted with the arrival of Europeans. The Lucayans' idyllic existence, built on community and respect for nature, would soon face an irreversible transformation. Chapter 2: The Arrival of Christopher Columbus. The Journey Across the Atlantic. The year was 1492, and the European world was on the cusp of dramatic change. Driven by a hunger for wealth and expansion, Spain's monarchs, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, funded an ambitious Italian navigator named Christopher Columbus. His mission: to find a new route to Asia by sailing westward. Instead of reaching the riches of the East, he stumbled upon lands that would alter the course of history. Columbus set sail from Palos, Spain, with three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. After weeks of navigating uncharted waters, doubts began to creep into the minds of his crew. Morale was low, and whispers of mutiny spread among the men. But on October 12, 1492, the cry of land brought renewed hope. The island where they landed was part of a vast archipelago. Unknown to them, it was the Bahamas. First contact on San Salvador. The exact location of Columbus's first landfall remains debated, but the most accepted site is the island of San Salvador, known to the Lucayans as Guanahani. As Columbus stepped onto the pristine white sands, he claimed the land for Spain, planting the royal flag and naming it after Christ the Savior. To the Lucayans who observed this strange arrival, the sight was bewildering. Columbus described them in his journal as a peaceful, generous people, writing, "They are very gentle and without knowledge of what is evil, nor do they murder or steal. Your highnesses may believe that in all the world there can be no better people." However, beneath his praise lay an ulterior motive. He viewed the Lucayans not as equals, but as potential subjects and laborers. He marveled at their simplicity and noted their gold ornaments, which would spark a relentless search for wealth. A clash of worlds. The first encounters were tentative but peaceful. The Lucayans welcomed Columbus and his men with gifts of food, cotton, and shells, embodying their tradition of hospitality. In return, the Europeans gave trinkets, beads, and other items that dazzled the islanders. But these exchanges masked a profound misunderstanding. To the Lucayans, the gifts symbolized mutual respect and alliance. To Columbus, they represented submission. This cultural misalignment would prove devastating as the Spaniards sought to exploit their hosts. The exploitation begins. Columbus's fascination with gold became an obsession. He pressed the Lucayans for information, believing their ornaments indicated nearby sources of wealth. When the islanders explained that gold was scarce in the Bahamas, Columbus resolved to explore further, marking the Bahamas as a stepping stone rather than a destination. Before departing, Columbus took several Lucayans captive, intending to present them to the Spanish court as proof of his discovery. He justified this act by claiming it was for their salvation through conversion to Christianity, but in truth, it marked the beginning of their subjugation. The aftermath of departure. When Columbus left the Bahamas to continue his voyage, he likely believed he had found a route to Asia's outer islands. But his brief visit unleashed a chain of events that would forever alter the Lucayans' existence. In his wake, more Spanish expeditions followed, driven by the promise of wealth and land. Unlike Columbus, these new arrivals were less interested in diplomacy. They sought to enslave the Lucayans and strip the islands of any resources they could find. The beginning of the end for the Lucayans. Over the next few decades, Spanish slavers systematically depopulated the Bahamas. They captured thousands of Lucayans and transported them to labor camps in Hispaniola and Cuba, where they were forced to work under brutal conditions. Many perished from overwork, malnutrition, and diseases introduced by the Europeans. By the early 1500s, the once thriving Lucayan population had been virtually wiped out. Their culture, language, and way of life disappeared, leaving behind little more than fragments of pottery and oral legends. The islands themselves became desolate, a haunting reminder of the human cost of European expansion. Legacy of Columbus's arrival. Columbus's arrival marked the dawn of a new era for the Bahamas, one defined by foreign domination and the exploitation of its resources and people. Yet it also set the stage for the complex history that would follow, one of resilience, adaptation, and reinvention. Chapter 3. The Spanish Enslavement. A ruthless campaign. In the wake of Christopher Columbus's departure, the Bahamas became a focal point for Spanish slavers who saw the Lucayan people as an untapped source of labor. The islands, with their scattered communities and navigable waters, offered little resistance to the well-armed expeditions that descended upon them. The Spanish systematically hunted the Lucayans, capturing them in large numbers to meet the growing demand for slaves in Hispaniola, Cuba, and other colonies. The encomienda system, a Spanish labor policy disguised as a means of Christianizing indigenous peoples, proved particularly devastating. Under this system, the enslaved were subjected to brutal working conditions in gold mines, sugar plantations, and other enterprises critical to Spain's colonial economy. The mechanics of enslavement. Spanish slaving ships arrive in the Bahamas equipped with tools of coercion, nets, chains, and weapons. The Lucayans, unaccustomed to the violence and aggression of the Spaniards, were often captured without fight. Entire villages were raided, and those who resisted were killed. The captives were packed into overcrowded ships, and transported to Spanish colonies. The journey itself was a nightmare, with many succumbing to disease, malnutrition, or despair before reaching their destination. Upon arrival, they were sold at auctions or distributed among Spanish settlers. The human cost. For the Lucayans, the experience was nothing short of catastrophic. Families were torn apart and cultural practices were eradicated. Stripped of their freedom and dignity, many succumbed to the grueling demands of their new masters. Diseases like smallpox, to which the Lucayans had no immunity, swept through their ranks, further decimating their population. The conditions in the mines were particularly harrowing. The Lucayans were forced to work long hours, digging for gold in dangerous shafts with little to no rest. The physical toll was immense, and those who collapsed from exhaustion were often beaten or left to die. The Bahamas, a ghost archipelago. By the early 1500s, the once thriving Lucayan civilization had been all but erased. The islands, stripped of their population, became known as a ghost archipelago. Spanish ships occasionally stopped to replenish their supplies, but for the most part, the Bahamas were abandoned, left to nature's reclamation. The absence of human habitation allowed the island's ecosystems to recover. Dense mangroves and coral reefs thrived, while the beaches remained untouched by human activity. Yet beneath this natural beauty lay the unmarked graves of a people whose story had been violently interrupted. The economic logic of destruction. The Spanish saw the Bahamas not as a place to settle, but as a resource to exploit. The islands lacked the gold deposits that had lured Columbus to the Americas, but their human capital was seen as equally valuable. This short-sighted approach ignored the long-term potential of the archipelago, reducing it to a transient source of labor for the wealthier colonies to the south. The role of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, while complicit in the broader colonization efforts, played a complex role in the Spanish enslavement of the Lucayans. Some priests, like Bartolomé de las Casas, decried the brutality of the encomienda system and advocated for the rights of indigenous peoples. However, their protests were often ignored or undermined by colonial authorities. Efforts to Christianize the Lucayans were largely superficial, serving as a pretext for their enslavement. Baptism was administered en masse, and captives were given Christian names, erasing their cultural identities. For the Spanish, this act symbolized their divine justification for domination. The Lucayan legacy. Though the Lucayan people were physically extinguished, their legacy persisted in subtle ways. Traces of their language and culture influenced the enslaved African populations that would later inhabit the islands. The memory of their peaceful way of life and the tragedy of their demise became a haunting reminder of the costs of European expansion. Archaeological discoveries, including pottery shards, tools, and ceremonial artifacts, have provided glimpses into their world. These remnants serve as a testament to a resilient and resourceful people whose story, though interrupted, continues to inspire those who seek to understand the true history of the Bahamas. The Spanish shift their focus. By the mid-16th century, the Spanish had largely abandoned the Bahamas. The depletion of the Lucayan population and the lack of valuable resources made the islands less attractive. Instead, the Spanish concentrated their efforts on more profitable colonies in the Greater Antilles and mainland South America. This departure left the Bahamas vacant and vulnerable, setting the stage for the next chapter in its history, the arrival of pirates and privateers who would transform the islands into a haven for lawlessness. Chapter 4, The Age of Pirates. The Bahamas, a pirate's paradise. By the late 1600s, the Bahamas, abandoned by the Spanish, became a magnet for pirates, privateers, and outlaws. With over 700 islands and countless hidden coves, the archipelago was perfectly suited for those seeking to evade the reach of colonial powers. Its proximity to major shipping lanes made it an ideal base for launching attacks on merchant vessels laden with goods from the Americas and Europe. The lack of a strong governing authority allowed piracy to flourish. Nassau, the capital of New Providence Island, became the epicenter of pirate activity, earning it the nickname the Republic of Pirates. Here, a loose coalition of outlaws ruled, creating a society where traditional hierarchies were upended and power belonged to the bold. The Golden Age of Piracy. The late 17th and early 18th centuries marked the peak of the Golden Age of Piracy. The Bahamas was home to some of history's most infamous pirates, including Edward Teach, better known as Blackbeard, Charles Vane and Bonney, and Calico Jack Rackham. Each brought their own brand of chaos and cunning to the region. Blackbeard's Reign of Terror. Blackbeard's fearsome reputation was as much a product of his tactical brilliance as his theatricality. known for tying slow-burning fuses into his beard to create a terrifying visage. He commanded a fleet of ships and held entire towns hostage for ransom. Blackbeard's flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, became a symbol of his dominance. And Bonnie and Mary Read, women of the high seas. And Bonnie, born in Ireland, defied the expectations of her time by becoming one of the few female pirates in history. Alongside Mary Read, she fought alongside male counterparts, proving herself in battle and earning the respect of her crew. Their partnership was a rare example of women navigating the male-dominated world of piracy. Charles Vane, the rebel pirate. Charles Vane was notorious for his refusal to submit to authority, even when it meant losing alliances. His cruelty towards captives and his audacious attacks on ships earn him both fear and notoriety. Life in the Republic of Pirates. The pirates of the Bahamas lived by their own rules, often codified in agreements known as the Pirate Code. These codes outlined how loot would be divided, the consequences for betrayal, and the rights of the crew. Surprisingly democratic, these agreements ensured that captains were elected and could be deposed if they failed to lead effectively. Nassau itself was a rowdy, lawless settlement. Taverns buzzed with activity as pirates spent their ill-gotten gains on rum, gambling, and revelry. The local economy thrived, with merchants and innkeepers profiting from the influx of wealth. However, this prosperity came at a cost, as rivalries and conflicts often erupted into violence. The impact of piracy on the Bahamas. While piracy brought temporary wealth and excitement to the Bahamas, it also made the region a target for colonial powers. European nations, eager to protect their trade routes, viewed the Bahamas as a lawless threat. Merchants feared sailing near the islands, and the lack of legitimate trade stunted economic development. The pirate lifestyle also led to environmental changes. Pirates often scavenged wood to repair their ships, depleting local forests. They hunted local wildlife for food, impacting the delicate ecosystems of the islands. The fall of the Republic of Pirates. By the early 18th century, the tide began to turn against piracy. The British Crown, determined to restore order, sent Captain Woodes Rogers to the Bahamas as the first royal governor. In 1718, Rogers arrived in Nassau with a fleet of warships and a royal pardon for pirates willing to surrender. His motto, Expulsus Piratus Restituta Commercia, Pirates Expelled, Commerce Restored, symbolized his mission to end the era of piracy. Many pirates, weary of the constant danger, accepted the pardon and transitioned to more legitimate pursuits. Others, like Charles Vane, resisted and met grisly ends, captured and executed as warnings to others. Blackbeard, though not directly affected by Rogers's arrival, met his demise in 1718 during a battle with the Royal Navy off the coast of North Carolina. And Bonnie and Mary Read were captured and imprisoned but avoided execution by pleading pregnancy. Legacy of the Pirates. The Age of Pirates left an indelible mark on Bahamian history and culture. Tales of treasure buried in the island sands continue to captivate imaginations, while the larger-than-life personas of Blackbeard and his ilk have become the stuff of legend. Piracy also shaped the identity of the Bahamas as a place of rebellion, resilience, and resourcefulness. The lessons of this turbulent era paved the way for the region's transition to a more stable and prosperous society.